This week on The Droids, we are on the precipice of Obi-Wan Kenobi, the series, and with it, a Vanity Fair article with all of those involved, focusing on the revolution of televised Star Wars. Is it television? It's streaming one way or another. We're getting a lot of Star Wars. We're going to talk about all of that and so much more on The Droids. Welcome back to The Droids You're Looking For, a Star Wars podcast. Alongside Ryan and Sam and Chris, it's Mike. We've got everybody here. The Droid Boys are back, and we're on the verge. Here it is. It's happening. Obi-Wan Kenobi. I've spent basically every free minute that I've had, not many of those exist, watching either The Clone Wars or Revenge of the Sith or Attack of the Clones, wherever I can get my Ewan fix, because I'm getting ready for as much Ewan as I can take.
Listen, we're all here. Yep. We're in the same room. We got Annie Leibovitz here, a volume behind us, and we're doing a photo spread because the future of the pod is televised.
I'm doing a spread for sure.
That's our big announcement.
We all, yeah.
We do the pod from the volume.
What a colossal waste of money that would be.
Exactly.
And also, listen, before people, on the boards, jump on my back. I know it probably wasn't Annie Leibovitz who took the pictures for the Vanity Fair spread. It might have been, too. I don't know.
It was. She's in
the
video.
I think it was.
Oh, man. I should cut that out, then, because I probably sounded so smart for a second.
Yeah, it's honestly, all you have to do is, you don't even have to press play. It just auto-plays, and there's Annie Leibovitz, 3 seconds in.
Well, I'll be honest with you. Wow. I don't know Annie Leibovitz by sight, because I'm more familiar with her work in front of the camera. I recognize her photos.
Yeah.
It was real confusing. I heard during the shoot, when they were doing the photography, it got real confusing when Jar Jar showed up. Because, obviously Hayden was there.
Yeah.
So he walked in and he said, Annie? And then, Leibovitz turns and she's in the middle of the shot. It screwed everything up, and it's a whole comedy of errors.
It's true they used the volume to recreate our rooms that we podcast from.
Right.
Because they really wanted to get the feeling.
So wait, please tell me which part of it was then physical. What, they take the rug and maybe the book that
exactly.
I have.
I brought my laundry.
Yeah,
and I dumped it on the floor.
Exactly.
And Favreau kept saying, can we move that? And I said, I'll move it. Listen, when I'm ready, can't we go on my time?
Then you handed him your coin and you said, the deal is done.
I said, you're my looper. And I handed him a coin.
Well, let's just dig in, because there's so much in this Vanity Fair. There's actually multiple pieces, which now Vanity Fair seems to do a lot. They basically take the entire interview that they do with somebody, turn it into a Q&A that's separate from the main article. So there's
it's not the Vanity Booth. It's not the Vanity Store. It's the whole Vanity Fair.
It's like a Renaissance Fair.
Right.
And so, I feel like this felt like a nice article for most people who've not been, podcasting weekly about Star Wars.
It was a nice article for us to have something, substance to talk about.
Yeah, but my point is, I think the majority of this, and I don't want to, move past a lot that was in here, but the majority of this is stuff that we knew. So the things
Rosario Dawson is playing a character that was popular on a television show called The Clone Wars, which ran for 7 seasons.
Oh, I see.
So for those of us in the Star Wars community and those of us who podcast and those of us with non-sanctioned podcasts by Star Wars Celebration,
a celebration rejected New York's favorite podcast.
New York's favorite podcast.
I don't know. I kind of feel like you got to flip that around, Chris. It'd be like New York's favorite rejected Star Wars Celebration podcast.
Oh, I like that.
Star Wars from yesterday and today, New York's favorite podcast.
You need that.
Yeah.
But so I think that leads us to focusing more on some of the things that were said that are pieces of news to those of us who are always watching and reading about Star Wars. And so kind of the big things that came out of this were really focused more on Andor is coming in the second half of the summer. Maybe there's going to be a month and a half between Obi-Wan and Andor, which that's pretty crazy that it's going to be that quick and that we've seen nothing. So that sets us up for Star Wars Andor. Star Wars is going to Star Wars Celebration, you know, the place that we are not welcomed and not greeted with open arms.
I don't know if we're not welcomed.
I think we're allowed to go.
Are we?
I have to stay a certain number of feet away. But we could all. We could definitely go.
You mean from Star Wars Celebration or Billy Dee Williams? Which one do you have to be away from?
Yeah. Some of the attendees.
Yeah. Yeah, panelists. But they will likely premiere an Andor trailer, which is actually kind of an interesting take. I honestly, from a marketing standpoint, you're about to build up Obi-Wan. It's all about Obi-Wan, and you're about to drop a trailer for a series right as the other show starts.
Unless it ties, maybe it ties in. That's what they do.
Think about how a movie trailer works, right? Like, well, usually the new MCU trailer drops with the current MCU movie.
Avatar 2
comes
out with Doctor Strange 2. And I have heard that there were a lot of people who left the theater and missed Doctor Strange 2 because they just wanted to talk about Avatar in the lobby.
They were
The Way of Water is part of the MCU going forward. Is that accurate?
I mean, it could be.
The Way of Water is what Chris says when he has to go to the bathroom.
Hey, which way is the water? Where's the water go? That's usually what I say.
You know, you make that joke, but I had that experience yesterday. I did get up and leave as I was at them, and they showed the Avatar trailer at Doctor Strange 2, and I walked out. I was like, oh.
Because you said I have to go to the bathroom. All that water.
But the Andor news is that we will get that show very soon, so that's exciting.
They did show the Rogue One teaser at the Force Awakens celebration as well. Remember that
teaser that wasn't even footage?
Yeah, it was just a picture.
Well, yeah, but that also wasn't...
It's like John Knowles' screensaver or something.
Yeah.
But what Mike is saying is you're saying it wasn't like the release day of...
Yeah, it wasn't the release day of the movie. Usually want to bucket out a little bit, like, hey, let's have 6 weeks in between big announcements.
Mike, I understand. I'm also upset we're not invited.
Obi-Wan will be going on literally for 6 weeks, so it's like they got to release it at some point, you know?
That's actually why I wonder. Obi-Wan will premiere on the 27th, but will premiere the night of the 26th, so Thursday at 3 a.m.
And this is the great thing about streaming, right, is that the content could be as long or as short as they want it to be, especially if it's within the 30 to 60 minutes that TV shows have always been, and they could release it all at once unless they decide to release it weekly like TV shows have always been.
Yeah.
But my point...
Really, we're in the future.
We get at least 2 months of subscriptions out of people that way. Sorry, Mike, your point?
My point more than anything was that they could do the premiere that night on Thursday, and then Friday at Celebration or Saturday at Celebration... they could do the Andor trailer. So, like, the show's first two episodes could be out, and then they're like, oh, yeah, let's show Andor. I don't know.
I'm starting to understand why we weren't invited.
The show premieres on the 25th, correct?
No, they pushed it to the 27th. They moved it back
they
2 days.
They did?
Yeah. That was Ewan McGregor had to introduce it to us. Because if Ewan didn't do it, we all would have rioted.
He told us not to buy stuff, go on trips, and Star Wars will be 2 days late.
I think my favorite... Chris, I was just going to reference that commercial. I think that's like my favorite piece of media in 2022 so far.
That's your Nicole Kidman AMC ad.
Yeah, it's just
exactly.
Ewan reminding people that it's not about the things we had,
but
the places we'll go. We'll remember.
The first time I watched that, every time I see that ad, I'm like confused as to what like the moral of like messages.
Yeah.
You know? Because he's like, you won't regret the things you don't buy,
right?
And you won't regret the things you don't do. Like it's weird.
Yeah.
Because you also buy a trip to go somewhere, and that's doing something. So they're all kind of the same.
Again,
thing.
I don't trust a word that man says. He lied to us for years. Years.
Well, I hope, Mike. I hope that they do show us Andor, and I hope that. For the fandom, that those two things can exist, that there's enough room in the fandom's mind for those two things to exist.
I'm sure
the Andor
is.
Trailer and what the Obi-Wan series.
I'm sure
what if it's
is.
Like a price tier difference for like, yeah, if you get the more expensive tickets, you can go see the Andor trailer.
You get the Andor trailer.
Oh, well, God, they call it the and tier and the or tier.
But I actually think it's less of a conversation about the hardcore Star Wars fan who can always keep all these things going at once.
Yeah.
It's more of... if you're a general fan who's like, wait a second, I thought I was supposed to watch the Obi-Wan, and now you're all of Twitter's talking about this other thing. I don't get what am I supposed to do? People who couldn't figure out where Rogue One sat in the timeline and thought that they were watching the sequel of The Force Awakens with
Mike,
Rogue One.
Just say what you want to. Idiots. They're idiots.
Or
that is true.
What
Rogue
I've come
One was
to
very
learn,
confusing for a lot of people.
Yeah. What I've come to learn is that sometimes you're just so tired. And you've got children, and you can't keep up with things and remember what's going on anymore.
I'm sorry, Mike. Sorry.
I'll be honest. With the Vanity Fair article, I was reading it, and I couldn't remember how many of these things was, like, breaking news or how many things I already knew.
Yeah. Well, I mean, they told us so many. Over the last 3 years, they've told us so many things that just, like, either haven't come to fruition, or they're like, and then 2024, we'll have this. And, like,
you can always... Well, they had that whole part about how Rosario accidentally said that, like, Hayden Christensen was going to be in Ahsoka. And I was like, I didn't know whether to be excited or not because I couldn't remember if I knew that already.
I think we knew that rumor. She posted that rumor as well. But everybody kind of took it
we
as like, oh,
did
yeah.
We probably
a
whole podcast on it.
I think we,
that's probably
we
like
did.
What?
But I do want to say.
Episode 1006 or something.
It's an interesting thing that Kathleen Kennedy, I think in this article or in the Q&A, is like, you know, we've got to move away from the Skywalker saga. We just can't keep doing the Skywalker saga.
Yeah, she's been saying that forever.
She says it right now, as in you're on the precipice of a story with Anakin Skywalker, another series with Anakin Skywalker that includes a character that completely revolves around her experience with a Skywalker.
Yeah,
and Little
Where
Luke.
Are we getting away from this?
Yeah, and we keep missing the fact that Luke is in Obi-Wan.
But I bet you he has, like, you know, three lines where he bumps into Obi-Wan at a market and says, you know, do you know where the power converters are?
He says, yippee.
I can't wait for
cut out the part where she was like, we need to get away from the Skywalker saga. Listen, we put him in too much. We know. Because Luke didn't need to be in The Mandalorian. He just didn't.
I thought the biggest news in the article that really took my breath away was the new series announcement, 2025's Tashi. It's about the guy who founded the station.
We already saw Boba Fett make it to the Tashi station.
I'm Tashi. Tashi.
Rip shit up.
It's about the formation of Tashi station. It's called Tashi.
It's like a Tool Time type show.
No, I don't get past
that's a,
the fact
that's
that
a Wookiee.
We've now seen the Tashi station in the Boba Fett series, and all it was him beating the crap out of people.
Did I watch all the Boba Fett series? I think I did. I finished it. I think I did.
I think we all talked about it.
I must
that was
have.
Like
yeah,
the,
you spoke that, very authoritatively. That,
I was thinking back on Boba Fett. It was like if you like violence in Star Wars, this show's for you. Like it's like. Here's all the violence in one series. Here you go. This is our funny one. This is the violent one.
Boy.
Man. The finale of that show was lame as hell. Remember when the Rancor shows up and then they just like, you're like, all right, that's cool. And then they just kill it.
No, he puts him to sleep.
He's asleep?
Baby Yoda puts him to sleep.
Yeah. I thought that was
the Rancor?
Cool.
Oh, the Rancor gets out of hand, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I kind of liked it.
And then they're running away from those robots for, like, an obscene amount of time.
The coverage on that, yeah. You can listen
back. And they're
back
just shooting at it.
What episode
it
is
shields
that?
For no reason. Yeah,
I think it's, like, episode 989 or something. You can listen back.
Well, all right. Some of the other news within this. Look, let's get to the one thing that we all want to talk about. They talk about Rian Johnson in here. And they say that Rian Johnson's trilogy is on the back burner, and it's interesting the myriad of ways people have gone when this was brought up and what was quoted from Kathleen Kennedy is some people were celebrating like it's still on, and my whole thought was it's like no, he's not on at all. He's so busy with his Netflix deal, and yeah, that's not gonna happen. But
yeah, like
oddity,
that's like
yeah.
Have you never read a like diplomatic press release before?
Yeah. Well, that's
the back
so,
burner means probably won't happen.
She says, I would love to see what movie he might come up with, but right now there isn't anything specifically. That basically means, no, there's nothing happening. Rian has been unbelievably busy with Knives Out, and that deal was made at Netflix for multiple movies. And that's it. That's what she says. Which you know,
after you announced he was having a trilogy.
Yeah.
They announced that though before even The Last Jedi was released.
Yeah, that was like 2 weeks before The Last Jedi was released.
And then you watch that documentary on The Last Jedi and like they like had a hard time even making that movie. And then I remember like Kathleen Kennedy being like, they're gonna make three more. I was like, oh my gosh, those guys are gonna lose their minds.
Man, yeah, that's true.
I wanna revisit that documentary. Yeah, there are a few moments in it that are just like so bothersome to me that I can't look at it just like, in the eye. Oh, but
you mean in which part? The way they were treating him or the way what was so bothersome?
No, for me, like, it seemed like exhaustion.
It's more just that interaction that Mark Hamill has with that dude in the costume that kills me.
Wait, which part?
Where the guy's like, you were so wonderful when I was a kid, and Mark Hamill's kind of like there on his day off.
Oh, yeah.
It's okay. Just a weird moment. I don't know. It kind of bummed me out all around. Not because like anyone's everybody's nice and everybody's lovely. It's just like this like weird, I don't know. Also, it is like a documentary about how like Mark Hamill couldn't stand Rian Johnson.
It's bizarre. Yeah, it's a weird. I loved it because it also highlights just look. Yeah. I know that there's myriad reasons we didn't get a similar documentary for The Rise of Skywalker, right? For there's a million.
But we did,
but not like that.
No, not like that. They did.
No, it wasn't as good.
There's something.
They did a thing
where
Chris Terrio is like sitting there and saying it's always been Palpatine and Skywalker.
it's an hour and a half documentary.
That was like
the Rise of Skywalker.
They were like,
I've not seen it. I've only seen it in theaters. So
retconning their own making of.
45 minutes of that documentary is about the stunt coordinator who's working on stunts for the first time. That's it.
Eunice or something.
Yeah,
she's kind of amazing.
Yeah,
I liked her, but I honestly thought there were so many more times where it looked like Star Wars was on wires in that movie than any other Star Wars movie. Like Rey at the very beginning when she does her flip from floating the rocks around is just like complete wire. It's so obvious. She looked like Peter Pan.
I'm understanding why we weren't invited.
It's just dawning on me.
All right, so I'm just going to go around the pod real quick. Does anyone think Rian Johnson will make another Star Wars movie?
Not a chance.
No.
I'm going to say yes. I think
he'll
make
one person I expected he was going to say yes.
There was another thing where she said something to the extent of like maybe not a trilogy. Was that what you just read? She said like maybe not a trilogy but a solo. I could see him making a standalone movie because I do think Knives Out is wildly popular and like he does have recognition and can handle a film that size. Like I think they would be. I don't think they're as naive to not let him do another movie because of the fan reaction in that direction. Because we're getting an Ahsoka series, so if that was the case, we wouldn't have that Ahsoka series.
Look,
segment brought to you by Magic Beans. Magic Beans. Chris is buying them.
Magic Beans.
If he came up, if he
on Lake Quiet,
a story
be gone.
And it was a singular movie, and he like if he sort of came up with something and was just like, I'd really want to do it. I don't know if they'd give him the opportunity, but I think he'd do it if he was given the opportunity and it was his idea. I just think that it's like, it's really hard for me to imagine him devoting much time to it whenever, you know, it seemed like the studio and the studio head loved his movie. He was kind of being set up and touted to be like, the kind of next generation filmmaker for Star Wars. It comes out, it's this huge divisive like debacle, and clearly in the interceding years the trilogy's been kind of taken off the table. There's no way they're going to invest that much in him when it's a question mark for them box office wise because they don't know how the fans are going to react. If I'm him in that scenario, I'm just like, this isn't worth the headache and heartache, man, of like porn, because he clearly unlike other directors who approach, you know, IP as like cool opportunities to like, let me just see what I can do with this. It's he's clearly very emotionally invested in his films he makes.
I think the stakes could be lower though if he's not having to deal with all the legacy stuff. Like if he's building his own new ground in Star Wars, like I think there is an audience for that, and I think he'd be awesome to do it.
Well, let's also remember though that there are those who saw Knives Out, and even though that was not based on any IP, it's not exactly like that was for all audiences in all demographics and all political viewpoints from across the country.
They gave, I mean, but Netflix still gave them $1 billion to make three of them. So.
Well, that's the thing. It's like, say, if I'm Ryan Johnson, which I'm not, let's just make that clear. Because my name is Ryan.
Your name is Ryan.
That's really too bad, because I would have... You know, I actually
by all accounts, he's a lovely man, a much nicer man than I am. If I'm Ryan Johnson, though, I'm swimming in my Netflix money like Scrooge McDuck and saying, if Lucasfilm calls me, don't answer. Because here's the thing.
And you're cleaning money out of your ears with a towel.
I think in a low-key way, as like diplomatic as like all press releases and stuff are, I think that they really threw him under the bus.
Yeah.
In this like weird way. I understand that they were never like blah blah blah. But they like kind of disowned that movie or like distanced themselves at least. Mm-hmm. He was supposed to write the treatment for episode 9 and then they kind of didn't. And it seems like they were, I know we've like litigated this a bunch, but it seemed like they were like kind of afraid of losing JJ, which now that he's swimming in his own money from Warner Brothers, like wasn't even a thing to worry about.
Were they
because
all
they were
going
to lose him anyway.
They were
but
all
like,
just using Star Wars.
like, it's just like a weird thing where it's like, I look at the way that that movie, the way that they stood behind the movie until people complained about it, and then all of a sudden, they treat it like they do the prequels, where they're like, if you love it, then like, we love you, and if you don't love it, we love you, and like, that's cool too. But it's like, it's not as simple as the prequels because the internet wasn't around in 1999 in the way it is now.
Yeah.
So it's
the effect of time too just hasn't.
Like, yeah, it's like people go on and on about how they're like The Last Jedi politicized Star Wars, and it's like you're politicizing it by saying that. Like, so, you know, like I just think that Lucasfilm kind of like did him dirty.
Yeah.
So now that they're saying like it's on the back burner, it makes it sound like it's like on him. Where he's doing his own thing at Netflix.
Maybe he'll direct. Maybe he'll direct a movie in the Rebel Moon franchise from Zack Snyder.
I haven't given my answer.
Is that the name of it?
It's called Rebel Moon.
Right on.
I haven't given my answer.
It's so funny.
My answer for this will be Ryan Johnson will direct another Star Wars movie after the entire existing Disney executive and Lucasfilm executive team leaves. Meaning, at some point, it'll be the same rehashing where it's like, oh, we're so happy to bring him back to the family. We knew that there was some controversy, and yet now we embrace him with open arms, and we're so excited to bring him back and have his vision and keep telling the stories that mean so much to Ryan and Lucasfilm. And this is not a critique of Kathleen Kennedy. I'm just saying, at some point, Kathleen Kennedy will step down, and it will be easier for everybody to be like, okay, those relationships that
it'll
were frayed and all those problems will go, and so he'll be around, and he can be 20 years from now and do it.
Yeah, it'll be when someone who was 17 when The Last Jedi came out is an executive at Lucasfilm.
Right.
And I don't even mean like the executive. I mean like an executive. Where
an
it's just like, it's the same way that like the and Ewan had that beautiful press thing where he was talking about the reception of the prequels, how he was saying how like for they were like young people don't who were brought up on them don't have the same connotation that like people who were in love with the original trilogy have. You know, we've said it on, you know, we've said it on this podcast a ton of times. He must be a listener. But, you know, it's going to be the same thing, is that there will be people who come up with the sequel trilogy and they don't know that there was like all this like backstage drama or they don't care. And that like they're like, The Last Jedi and Rise of Skywalker are both great. Love them both. Like that kind of thing. And they'll be right about one of those things. And that's fine.
I don't mind the people who are kids who are like, I love them both. Or, you know, that's fine. But the people right now who are just like, anything Star Wars, it's all great. Don't question any of it. I think we've said that on the pod before. I'm like, I just can't understand that. I can't understand how you can love all of it at the moment. But all right, back to where we're at with this. I think one of the biggest takeaways, and this is the cover of the story of this, is that it'll be televised. It's streaming. Mm-hmm. Star Wars has made the shift to streaming. And then, Chris, you talked about how at the end of this, they kind of talk about, well, you know, we hesitate to use the word trilogies because Kathleen Kennedy says we're no more about persistent storytelling, which is interesting because she basically talks about in the Q&A she wants another Jon Favreau / Dave Filoni who are going to commit all their time to telling all these extended stories across multiple parts of the properties, multiple iterations of streaming or movies, and they don't want to have to invest with somebody who's not going to come in and dedicate themselves fully.
Right.
My question is, how do we feel about this? How do we feel about what we consider to be the greatest cinematic franchise, the story and the movie that created blockbuster cinema, you know, essentially in the way that we know it now. Obviously, Jaws kind of introduced that, but then where we're at now with with everything that Star Wars created from that. How do we feel about this shift that, you know, movies are completely an afterthought in this piece, and movies are way down the road. It seems unlikely. They basically said that Rogue Squadron is not happening in 2023, that Taika Waititi's movie will happen first, which could slot in 2023. But how do you feel about knowing for the foreseeable future that your Star Wars is not on the big screen?
I think it makes me a little sad. I think on an earlier episode of the pod, I had said, I don't think we're going to get a Star Wars movie for a while. And that was pre-pandemic. And we can review that. I think it's like episode 638 or something like that. But we can review that. But I do... part of me also wonders...
Ryan, you'll just cut that in right here?
Yeah.
You'll just cut that bit in here.
Let's put that right in.
Okay, we're back.
Chris, I just need clean. Just count from 1 to 300.
Maybe you could do that. Then you could just use that anytime I reference another episode. Right. You can just splice it together. Part of me wonders if... And this could do something with our blue friends in the water. If Disney's making a little pathway for Avatar to kind of, over the next 10 years, be their flagship movie while we use Star Wars to kind of push their streaming service.
Are you telling me that's why Doctor Strange and the Multiverse of Madness was not good? They're also trying to tank their Marvel movies for Avatar?
I don't know. I don't think they're trying to tank.
I'm kidding.
I think it's more that I think they're trying to make space for Avatar, really, and then letting that flourish.
I think that both Star Wars and the MCU are entering their Star Wars in the 80s, or like late 80s, 90s phase.
Yeah. That's a possibility, too. We'll know once we get, like, what, the American Dad Star Wars parody or something. Like.
Well, I think that it's probably will be kind of like the, and this is obviously higher budget, I think a lot of the TV shows will be kind of like what the EU was for a while. You know, it'll be like the novels, except more accessible, obviously, because they're on streaming services. But some people will watch all of them, some people won't.
Yeah.
And, like, in 20 years or whatever, it'll probably be... The lifespan of these things are shorter now, so it'll probably be 10 years. They'll do, like, another trilogy or something.
Yeah.
You know? Like, it'll be a big to-do. But it's, like, there has to be...
They'll dig up that lightsaber.
There has to be an ebb and flow. Like, they need to, I was thinking about this. Like... We've had enough, and I'm excited about the shows coming out, and we've had enough to talk about, and there will always be enough content. But in terms of how they kind of, after the Disney acquisition and for financial reasons, they kind of had to come out of the gate swinging and, like, recoup their costs really fast.
They had to pay for those full-size Millennium Falcons.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. It's just, they needed to do so much so fast that it's, like, it kind of, like, burnt out a little.
Yeah. Well, yeah, they
Well, it's just like The Mandalorian was kind of like... I think if The Mandalorian didn't exist after Rise of Skywalker, there'd be like some problems.
Yes, exactly.
In terms of like maintaining interest and stuff.
Inviability. Yep. Yeah, I mean, they did... When they kicked off the sequel trilogy, they also like... I think they like went too high on the sacredness, you know what I mean? Or the prestige of the source material. I think they like... They started that bar at a level that was so high that like it made you forget how hokey... Mark Hamill was in Star Wars, in the original Star Wars. Like, they were starting to, like, really erase those moments where it was like, no, it's okay to kind of laugh at some of these things because they're weird and some of it's cheesy, and then that's okay. But, like, they really, like, got us all amped up on our nostalgia. And then I think once that effect wore off a little bit, and probably the pinnacle of it being with The Last Jedi, because it was, like, something new... I think if you weren't on board with that, then by the time they went to The Rise of Skywalker, they were just like, yeah, it's Star Wars. It's fun. It's for everyone. Don't worry about it. Like,
I think there's also an element where, you know, particularly the MCU, like Kevin Feige and what Marvel did since 2008, like is largely responsible for the current landscape of cinema and like blockbuster cinema. There's like the need for the desire to make everything connected, the interest in sort of serialized movie storytelling, and then kind of like omnimedia stuff with, you know, now it's like movies and TV with the same actors, with the same characters, all this stuff. And I think that it worked for the first run with the MCU because that in and of itself was new. It was like so hard to wrap your head around like just the scope and scale of what Marvel was doing on screen, that it was hard not to be excited. I mean, if you're like a genre film person, it was just hard not to be excited that there was always going to be like a next step to the story, and that like all these things just kept expanding and expanding and expanding. And I think you kind of only get to be the new idea once. And so now all the strings are really visible, and I think we're hyper informed about movies and how they're made. And so there's something too about like, I mean, look, we're contributing to it, right? We're breaking down a Vanity Fair article talking about like the next phase of Star Wars. Mm-hmm. And it's a bummer, because I think they haven't yet figured out how to like bake right. this new process of blockbuster franchise making
mm-hmm.
in deep enough that like the stories are what matter. Like there's just so much, like there's so much process that's visible that I just think like you really are missing the things with like with George Lucas clearly yeah. was just like so far down his own rabbit hole with like mm-hmm. this lore that he created. And then
yeah.
I think what I liked about Rian Johnson's movie is like he clearly brought that level of passion and care to like a singular vision of a movie.
Mm-hmm.
And I just like don't see that now. When you're talking about yeah. six things in an article, I'm yeah. like, great. How am I supposed to care about any of this?
That's
well,
a,
there's also
yeah.
Chris, I'm really interested in what you said about like the sanctity of like how it was treated, right?
Yeah.
Because it and all of this
not
stuff
interested
creates
in what
a balance
I just
issue.
Said. That's
Sam. I thought you were saying that this whole podcast was a bummer. I didn't realize. I thought you were sitting here talking about an article. Like, what a bummer.
It kind of is sometimes. It's all right.
Well, it's okay.
After 2,000 episodes.
It kind of has to do with the idea of prestige, right? Because this has been a growing problem in terms of television and like content, the content wars for a while, is because everything looks so good that everything can be perceived as prestige. And the fact of the matter is everything is not. And I'm saying like prestige as a type of storytelling, not as like a quality, like a sign of the quality of storytelling, right? Where it's like Mad Men is a prestige show. It's like meant to be at the Emmys, like that kind of thing. Like it's the idea of like the same way that like Ron Howard for a long time made prestige movies. It doesn't mean they were better. It just meant that they were like kind of austere and like whatever.
Right. They were gunning for like an Oscar or something.
Now, when everything has the aesthetic of prestige, it's hard to tell the difference. Now, what you said about Star Wars with like the sanctity of like the new trilogy is that like I love Star Wars. I obviously love Star Wars. The way they were talking about the old trilogy when the new trilogy was made is kind of like if you had a grandparent that you like loved so much and they like took you to the park and you had so much fun with them and like you loved them dearly and then they pass away and then you go to the funeral and like someone is claiming they were president. And you're like, wait, no, they weren't. They weren't president. That's a weird thing to say. And it's like, you know, like, I don't even think it does them justice. It's just like, why would you say they're president? And they're like, well, we need people to think that they were president. Like, you'd be like, oh, that's weird. So that kind of happened with the new trilogy, even though I think Rian Johnson broke away from it. Because as Sam said, very interestingly, he like dared to like do something with it. Like he was like, we're telling a story here. We're not, we have to be in conversation with the original. We can't just be here to pay homage to the original all the time.
Exactly. And
the issue that's coming with the shows, sorry.
Go for it. Go.
I'm getting there. The issue that's going to happen with the shows is because they keep amping up how prestige they're supposed to be. We're spending so much money, blah, blah, blah. Is that Ewan said that like the Obi-Wan's show is basically like a long movie, right? Yeah. And I'm sure it's going to be awesome. I'm so excited for it. Movies aren't supposed to be 6 hours long.
Right.
So it's this thing where it's like, if you're watching a show that's 12 episodes, 24 episodes, whatever, if The Mandalorian was pitched as like, it's kind of like, listen, it's not like a movie on television. It's a television show on television. It'd be easier to eat like the episodes where he's just in a village fighting an AT-AT. And you're like, this feels like an episode of Xena.
Yeah.
Because it's like, I like Xena, you know, like that kind of thing.
Yep.
But it's like if you're presenting all of these things, if you flatten it out and they're all the same level of prestige, people can't adjust their expectations for what they're getting out of it.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
It's like you need the Obi-Wan show to be as good as a trilogy. You need the Ahsoka show to be as good as a trilogy. It's like, and that's like not fair even to viewers, but it's like also like how do you sustain that? Everything can't have the same sanctity if you're doing it three times a year.
Right.
You know? So it's like.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's it. It's just like I'm curious if there had been 20 years between Infinity War and Endgame, if there would have been a part of the internet that was like, Tony would never sacrifice himself. He'd find a way. He's smart enough that he'd find a way to live and win. You know, like that kind of thing.
There's also like, there's also like the question of part of, you got to ask like, okay, well, okay, they got Ewan McGregor back. They got Hayden Christensen back. That's obviously like the two primary appeals for this show, right? Mm-hmm. But part of the reason they got those guys back was like, yeah, we're going to shoot this in the volume, and it's a series. It's a 6-episode limited series. It, like, they're not asking the commitment of them of making a new trilogy of films, but they're kind of trying to sell it like it's that. Like, right. To your point, Ryan. And so mm-hmm. It's kind of like, hey, if you're going to sell it as prestige and cinema but on the small screen, then it kind of has to be made the way the movies would be made. And what you're actually
doing
is... Then
don't rewrite it over a summer.
You're making a TV show, which is fine, but then sell it like a TV show. I love that your comparison. Like I would... Man, a Xena Jedi show?
Yeah, where you can get
Monster
real...
of the Week?
Yeah, you can get real deep.
Yeah, where they're like, we're doing 25 episodes. People love it.
Just and then you just layer in the lore, like Star Trek or like what any of those shows do, where you just like layer in the lore and then... Or like the Clone Wars does. There's a perfect example of like by the time you get to the end of it, you feel like so enriched because there's so many little threads that you learn.
There's also an episode where all the droids are lost in nothingness. You know, and you're like, well, they were, they needed to fill time.
The best thing Star Wars should have done is, and they would never do this now because it's a different, they're running a different operating system now, but they should have just made this singular trilogy. I think the most revolutionary thing they could have done as a franchise was make these three movies, regardless of how they fell, made them and not made anything for 15 years. Like, anything else. Like, I think that would have been the ideal thing.
Not how you make
thing.
Money, Chris.
You still can, though. That's what George Lucas did. And
not when you put up a theme park that you need more people to attend every year.
Exactly. But that would have been the most revolutionary idea. If, like, to find that new thing, it would have been like, oh, my God, they're only making three of these. Like, people would have, it would have been like scarcity marketing. Like, we have to cherish these.
Or,
and then,
or
we
or
sat
do
down,
what,
we wrote them for
what,
6 years.
Yeah.
Yeah. But then you invest in that level and they stink, and then you really got a problem.
Well, but then you justify it.
Then you have the prequels on your hands.
Yeah.
Then, you know, and I don't think they stink, but what I'm saying is people thought they stunk and then they waited 10 years and all of a sudden people don't think that anymore.
Yeah.
Or
take the Jim
Cameron approach and make one movie that everybody's kind of like lukewarm on and then just be like spend the next 10 years promising the 5 sequels. And apparently when you drop that trailer, everybody's like, it's the best movie of all time. I can't wait for this.
Two things about what you were saying, Chris. So, and actually what everybody's kind of saying here, Ryan, you've been talking a lot about the difference of the 6-hour movie versus it being a TV show. Mm-hmm. I think all those things, genre, do it like Xena, do whatever you want, but tell stories within the window of time that you have. Don't make it feel unsatisfying to watch an episode of this thing because it is a 6-hour movie. That's the way I felt with the Marvel series so far. You're not telling televised stories where you have at least some semblance of a complete story in that one episode that, yes, still ladders up to the larger story you're trying to tell, but it is not satisfying week to week because you basically have gotten one morsel of the larger film that you'd rather just watch as a movie anyway. And let's be honest, a lot of those Marvel series would be better if they were cut down to 2 hours,
Mike,
and not 6 or 7.
Here's what it is. The streaming series, like what's plaguing a lot of streaming series, particularly those tied to like major IP, is they're assembly cuts of movies just released in segments. They're not standalone episodes. And again, it's like with Mad Men, when you talk about prestige television like Mad Men or like Breaking Bad, any given episode, obviously those are deeply serialized shows and they work pretty much like on the strength of someone going through the full season. But every individual episode is kind of gripping and you can drop in and figure out what's going on, and there is motion for the characters, and that's what's missing in some of these.
They're banking on us.
I don't know if we've talked about it on the podcast, but definitely offline we've talked about how like people can name episodes of Lost where they're like, it was the episode where this happened. If they're big fans, they know the name of it, you know, like it was the constant is a good answer, you know. So like
Live
that's
Together,
like
Die
the
Alone
one. Right There's those things exist for a ton of like what are classically released shows. But name me an episode of Hawkeye. You can name me things that happened on Hawkeye.
Yeah,
I can name things that happened on Hawkeye. I couldn't tell you what episode it happened in. Or like what that episode was structured around.
We got a little close to that with some episodes of Mandalorian with that kind of thing. And which is great. And I do agree. I mean, I think a show like Doctor Who is a good example of it. Every one of those episodes has a beginning, middle, end, and then it also pushes an overarching story along.
Also, no one obviously cares about like the special effects level on Doctor Who. You know what I mean? It's not what they're there for.
Right.
Where, like, if they make a Star Wars show now they put themselves in a position. If they make a Star Wars show that looks cheesy, it happened with The Mandalorian sometimes.
Yeah.
Where, like, it looks kind of cheesy, like a Saturday afternoon show.
It happened every time with Boba Fett.
Right. Yeah. Like, it's like, it breaks it because they're, like, selling you that this looks like a movie on television, which it shouldn't. It's like, embrace the medium you're working in. Again, I think that, like, The Mandalorian largely does this successfully. I feel like I can name episodes of The Mandalorian. Boba Fett just wasn't that good. But, like, you know, there are episodes, the episode where he went to the, with Bill Burr to the old Imperial base, the episode where he was like helping the village. Like,
I was going to say, you name the ATA, like the,
exactly. As an example,
the frog lady, the egg episode. That's still one of my top episodes.
They were getting there. Yeah.
The prison break episode.
It is kind of one of those things where it's like, make the medium that you're working in meaningful to the story you're telling. Like, it's like, as opposed to it, like, we did it as a series because, you know, like, Disney needed the series to launch with, and it's like, whatever. And maybe the Obi-Wan show will, like, again, I'm so stoked about it. It's like, even if it is, like, the problem I'm talking about, I don't care. It's like, well, I really want to watch
the
it.
Yeah, that's the thing. We're really being harsh on, like, the approach here, but I'm like, I'm saying all this still just like, look at his hair and his beard. I want to live in that.
I think this is a holistic problem across, like, content. I don't think it's Lucasfilm specific
problem. And to be honest with this, it's a limited series. It's not meant to be. It's more of meant to be one story. Like, from an outside, it's kind of like a mayor of Easttown. It's meant to be that story on its own. It's not supposed to be a series.
Well, Chris, we were talking about how stoked we were that it said, like, a limited series event.
Yes.
Because we like event television.
I like that kind of thing. Like, when you watch NBC's Merlin, like, that that thing ruled. But
I like when you do
stand. Yeah.
It's
Steve
okay.
Guttenberg in the Tower of Terror limited event movie on ABC on Friday night in 1996.
Yeah. There you go.
The Wonderful
Kirsten
World
Dunst,
of Disney.
Yeah.
Steve Guttenberg, great night of TV.
There you go.
I had a homemade
Kirsten
pizza,
Dunst and Steve
popcorn.
Guttenberg.
Wow. Thanks, Stonecutters, for making them
a
star.
It's crazy how they've both been equally successful after that.
Really, it is. They're just really
So I do appreciate it on that level, and this could be the first time that I think Boba Fett just kind of was like a mixed bag of episodes of like, here's whatever we got.
Which brings me back to the article. I want to say, like, there's one other thing in here, and actually I guess it was in Q&A, not in the article. Speaking of how you were just talking about the Clone Wars, Chris, and the genre of the Clone Wars and what they just did, and to me, I just watched the final season. I finished it finally. I don't want to. We could say that for another episode. But in terms of the care and the level of writing, and yes, the reverence, you know, and the sanctity of all of it, Kathleen Kennedy says in the Q&A, you know, we couldn't have Rey be Kenobi's daughter because that would have flied in the face of everything George had made for the Jedi. It wouldn't, you know, really, we would not be living up to George's vision for what the Jedi are if Obi-Wan Kenobi had a child outside of the council. I'm like, where was that thought during The Rise of Skywalker? Where was any of that when you made The Rise of Skywalker? What do you think George would have said if you'd brought him the line, somehow Palpatine returned? Like, the level of inconsistency of let's try, and then the same thing where she calls back to, we should never recast anyone. We learned after this that a core character you don't recast. What about Ewan McGregor in the prequels? That worked out beautifully.
Yeah, exactly.
What is happening that you're just... This is why I'm like, Kathleen Kennedy, I think, had orders that she was given by executives at Disney that were different than what she wanted to do, and she still has to sell it in these kind of
I think she's lost sure. I think she's lost all power. I think she was stripped of it. I think when kind of there was the 1-2 punch of like the pushback against The Last Jedi, which remember like was a huge financial success, but still is perceived as less than, like, what's crazy is artistic, like as an artistic object, it's unparalleled in the series, except for maybe like the original Star Wars and Empire. You know what I mean? Some people call it A New Hope. Sorry.
Some people call it A New Hope.
But like it's like kind of, you know, those three are I'm starting to split hairs. Sorry, I'm getting tangential. My point is like it's perceived as like less than just the absolute home run that it was, and then Solo was a rocky ride because
you mean a rocking good time? Is that what you mean?
Hey,
hashtag I walked out of it to happen.
I walked out of it like I was on a rebel moon, and I've really come down on that movie, as we all know. It's at the bottom of my list.
You know what? Like we've talked about, Ryan, you've said it multiple times. Those prequels come back. Sam, Solo's coming back for you.
Yeah. Hey, look, God willing, it does. My point is, though, that I think that was the point. And Trevorrow gets ousted. So it's like she's lost her director for the third film. The second film is stirring up some kind of controversy. And the second of the like spinoff, like solo projects, solo stories, is like kind of just a mess behind the scenes, even if it does okay. And there's no consensus on like what Star Wars is right now. I think that's when Disney was like, I think they stripped her of kind of all power except like kind of PR. Like they didn't want to fire the woman at the head of it, you know, that was also like has Lucas's blessing.
I feel like it's interesting. People, a lot of the contingent of the fandom that hated The Last Jedi, don't know what to call them, but a lot of people who disagree with like the Disney stuff is they like to come down on Kathy Kennedy about this stuff, part of which, and like I know that like people can think what they want about what I'm about to say, part of which I think is latent or overt misogyny a lot of the time, that they're like, I just don't like her, don't know what it is, like that kind of thing. Whether they want to admit that or whether it's true or not, whatever, it's just that's how it reads. But if you look at the first few movies that she made decisions on, right, like she hired JJ to make The Force Awakens, which was kind of like a slam dunk. Like they were like, we need a safe filmmaker. He could hit a solid double, which, and I think that movie's great. Then she hired Gareth Edwards to make Rogue One, Rian Johnson to make Episode 8, and Miller and Lord to make Solo. Now, some of those decisions worked out, some of them didn't. However, those are the decisions of like an executive with an idea, right? Mm-hmm. She was hiring very talented filmmakers, some of which were like fairly early in their careers, to like make what she was hoping were interesting movies. I think The Last Jedi obviously succeeded very much that way. But it's like, if you want to look at why these things got messy, I doubt it's because of Kathleen Kennedy. It's more because Disney started being nervous.
I'm not putting her on her to just act
autonomously. They put it's not in like Kevin Feige where they're like, you just keep printing us money. I don't know. Best we have
car,
no ideas about
Beskar ain't cheap, and you can't build a Falcon.
But it's, if you look at how the Lucasfilm acquisition and her taking over at Lucasfilm started, she was making cool, interesting decisions, and then assumedly kind of got interfered with, whether it was because, like, you know, filmmakers weren't getting along with like corporate interests or like whatever it was, you know, and it's like now we've gotten to a point where it feels like the thread has been a little lost, and they need to figure it out.
It happened from the start. I mean, even with The Force Awakens, with like the movie we eventually got became that kind of nostalgia injected remake in a, so to speak. And that's why I think it was kind of maybe the consolation prize, and not to say it was a bad movie or anything that's less than, but like the consolation prize then for executives at the time was like Rogue One. So we'll have Force Awakens will be the new thing. Rogue One will play back into the fans that like the original stuff. But then I think what happened as they were making Force Awakens, they're like, no, we want it to be like that also. Like we want it to be nostalgic. We want it to tie in directly, and you have to see everyone again. So each one of these new sequel trilogy movies will revolve around the old characters yet again. I have to imagine that initial deal was not to have that. That's why we have things like the hand with the lightsaber floating through space with that original shot. Right. And if you look at the art of Star Wars books, all the concepts and the renderings and all that stuff that didn't make it in, I think that's all the stuff that got scrapped because it was new and exciting. And I think Disney probably started to shake a little bit and was like, we got to fall back on what we know.
Because if you look at the roadmap that she assumedly set out to do, right, of like Abrams, Edwards, Rian Johnson, Miller, Lord, and then Trevorrow, right? It's like if that roadmap had gone well, right, and it's like a lot of it had to do with like unforeseen circumstances, she was setting up what was like essentially going to be like the next age of like blockbuster filmmaking.
Yeah.
Like, she was like, these are going to be the people, like, for better or worse. I mean, I have differing feelings about all of those directors, but it's like, it's a sound plan. You know what I mean? Even if it didn't work out, like, the plan made sense. And it was like a thing that it's like, yeah, that's a smart executive who's like hiring interesting people.
Yeah.
Maybe not like all of them as interesting as other people, but still, it's like, it wasn't like dumb choices.
Right.
It's like, you have to imagine that there was some kind of corporate, like, you know, interference that was not making it go smoothly.
Yes, exactly. Now
people
I
like
understand.
To talk about how George could do all this. George owned it. George, he wrote all the checks.
He didn't have to answer to anyone. He could just make his
literally
own.
Nobody.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think that's the majority of the article. We've covered most of it in here. There's a little bit of a mention of the Ahsoka series. Some talk about Rosario and her time in it. I'm very excited for the Ahsoka series, especially having just watched the conclusion of her story in the Clone Wars. I mean, Filoni getting that chance. The video in this is interesting because it's just Filoni talking again about this being a connective universe and a shared universe. And, you know, that's good. That's fine. That's where we all know it's going. There's a conversation about the Acolyte, and the Acolyte with Leslie Headland is still happening.
And then the youngster show too, the coming of age.
Oh yeah, the John Watts thing, right?
The Grammar Rodeo, for those of you who are very big Simpson fans out there, who's going on to Tennessee.
There you go.
I have to say, if there's not a planet named Wadsfer, then we've really missed an opportunity.
that is the same thing as the John Watts series, right?
Yeah, that's the same thing.
I'm assuming. Yeah, yep. That's cool. He's talented.
Yeah.
I made the mistake of saying Broom Boy should be in it, but it does take place post Return of the Jedi. But really,
So there also, this is the other thing though. There's nothing. So there is nothing forward in time. There's not a single thing that's happening. Like, I know we're saying it's all untold, like uncovered ground, right? And it's like obviously new stories, but all of it is taking place within pockets of time. Amid things we've already seen, there's nothing new, right?
And part of that is
Skywalker is the greatest Jedi has ever and will exist.
But Sam, it's because it's so they can do all the stuff that they are doing in Marvel, which is going to have you pontificate, theorize, analyze who's the next cameo, who's the next star that's popping up, who's the next character. Like, honestly, the Acolyte 100% is just going to end with Sidious being with Darth Plagueis. I mean, like, that's exactly what's going to happen in the Acolyte. There's no way that it's not. It's just going to be this build-up.
At least we'll be seeing something that we haven't seen before.
We'll see something we haven't seen before, but they're going to want to tie it back so that everyone can have that moment of, you know, DiCaprio pointing at the screen, being like, you know, like, that's all it's going
to
happen.
Can we find out what happened to Master Sifo Dyas?
Oh, we do in the Clone Wars. I was just watching that.
He was captured, tortured.
I hope that they're able with Acolyte to do something. Now, look, it's a TV series. We've talked a lot about this and what that means in terms of the investment and expectations and level setting and, you know, all this stuff in terms of production. Acolyte, I think, is so exciting to me in part because, like, my hope is and my hope would be that it would be as stark a difference in look and tone and feel as the prequels were to Star Wars. Like, that's what you want, right? You want something that feels like it's of a completely different time and even maybe a different series, but that it then obviously ties into the series we all know and love. And I don't see that happening. I think it's going to look like...
No, I got to make it all look the same.
Of a piece with everything. And that's the other thing that feels like there's a potentially missed opportunity, you know?
Yeah.
We'll see. I mean, Leslie Headland made Russian Doll, and that's really cool.
I don't want to be so down. I really do. I don't. I feel like I've been particularly like the downer on the episodes I've been on. And what's ironic, I suppose, about that is like I've wanted to get back to the pod, you know, for so long because like I've missed talking about Star Wars all the time. I love this. You know, it's just I'm a little bit concerned. I'm not quite as excited as I want to be, except for Obi-Wan. Just,
You just Obi-Wan wait till next so weekend. You'll be crying. Yeah.
Here's the, also the thing.
I can't
is
wait.
That,
to...
We gotta do a pause, you know, right now.
I'd like to say this, and listen, like people complaining in the iTunes reviews that were too negative. That's fair. You know, like whatever. Yeah, that doesn't bother me.
I'm not buying it.
But just, you know, I listened to a podcast where two comedians were talking once, and they were like roasting each other, and one of them felt the need to be like, just so you guys know, like no one's mad at each other, like that kind of thing. Where it's like. This stuff where we're talking about like what bothers us, what doesn't, what could have been, what should be, blah blah blah, like this is the fun stuff,
right?
Like, it's like we love Star Wars, like us saying that, like part of it is the fun of being like, oh, I hope they don't do this, oh, I'd love it if they did that, you know, like whatever.
Yeah, this is, yeah,
it's not like we don't actually not like it, like that's silly.
Yeah,
we no, but we do, I mean like there are things, there are decisions, there are decisions that we are that are being made that we don't like, and things like The Rise of Skywalker that we don't
like. Of course, but that doesn't mean we don't like Star Wars.
Oh, yeah.
Like, obviously. You know, like, it's like, it doesn't mean even that we're not interested in the things that are coming. It's like, just because we have, like, it's like we're still going to watch it. I mean, God. Yeah. We watched all of Boba Fett.
Yeah, come on. We read all of that book. We have 2,500 plus episodes of this pod.
Final five chapters, Ryan? Are we... Where do we do
it? I don't have time now, but maybe next time we can. I know we plan to.
Yeah.
Okay.
But it's like, it's more like I don't want anyone to listen and be like, it sounds like they're like really mad. Like we're not. Like we're stoked.
Yeah. It,
you know?
Yes, and that's how I feel. Yeah, I'm with you, Ryan. It's like I'm so excited. Like at the end of the day, we're getting more Star Wars. We're getting like it is prestige television from a production standpoint. I mean, this is like they're investing and putting kind of the full weight of the Disney Lucasfilm kind of budget and brand behind these things. So there is a baseline level of quality and with it, you know, an expectation I have, and I'm sure I'll get a lot of love and enjoyment from these things. I think the comments on the movies really deflated me. I think Ryan, when you were talking about Kathleen Kennedy, like I want the Kathleen Kennedy of, you know, 2012 and 13, who was making those decisions, being a little bolder and being unencumbered, right? As the steward of Star Wars, because I think like even if some of those things miss, I'd rather an interesting miss than a lot of, you know, pretty decent, what, buttercream ice cream or something. Yeah, frosting or something, you know? Yeah.
It's like, it just seems like Disney got scared. And, like, it's not a thing that in Star Wars has happened, and here's why. Jar Jar was in episodes 2 and 3.
Hey,
you know what I mean?
Maybe.
George was just like, he's in it. I don't know what to tell you.
Maybe
like,
a giant company.
I mean, he was reduced,
that's but. Maybe a giant company that's beholden to its shareholders shouldn't be the stewards of all the, you know, creative properties we love most. Maybe, you know, maybe something that's trying to answer to millions of people and investors isn't the right place for the kind of creative decisions that need to be made to like spawn the type of art that we all fell in love with.
Yeah. Obviously, I agree with that, but at the same time, like, I don't think that'll ever happen. So I'll settle for those corporations not being so afraid of not giving fans exactly what they want and, like, give them something interesting.
Well, especially, you know what I mean?
Because it's like, what are we doing if it's literally just like, we read the internet and then we just did that?
Yeah.
It's stupid.
I mean, look, speaking of giving fans what they want, Obi-Wan's in Fortnite.
Well, okay, so is there going to be information I need in Fortnite?
I'm sure there will be. Palpatine's going to return in Fortnite.
Okay. Somehow, Mace Windu has returned.
Oh, that'd be great.
Somehow Qui-Gon's returned.
I think that is going to
do it,
though.
Him.
Well, yeah. Well, look, Qui-Gon came back for the Clone Wars. He voiced his spirit ghost in the Clone Wars.
Yeah, we'll get him.
We'll get him. All right.
Liam Neeson shows no signs of saying no to things.
It's just a question of whether or not they're okay with that, if they're happy doing that. We'll see. Next week, we'll be back to talk about the first two episodes of Obi-Wan Kenobi.
Ooh.
This is going to be exciting. All right. That's going to do it for The Droids You're Looking For, a Star Wars podcast. Join us for Obi Talk next week. What they
Obi? Annie Leibovitz?
All right. And I just have to hit record.